I want to look in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, and verse number 6. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. As we think on number 9, this is the ninth time. I think it's like the sixth message, but it's the ninth time that this word impossible appears in the New Testament. This word impossible is never in the Old Testament. It's always in the New Testament. And so we're looking at that tonight. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and verse number 6. Here the Bible says, and this is the absolute truth. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can't please God without faith. You can't do it. And what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You must trust God completely. Talk about us that are saved. We must trust God completely with everything. Everything. Don't hold back anything at all. Trust God with our life. Trust God with our finances. Trust God with our family. Trust God with our work. Trust God with our play. Trust God with our traveling. We've got to trust God with everything, and we're coming down to it in this place. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible. You cannot please God without faith in Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently. God will reward you if you diligently, that's really put out some effort for it, and try to do what God wants you to do. We must have faith in order to serve God. Not faith in ourselves. Not faith in ourselves at all. But rather, we have faith in God. Not cockiness. Not that kind of thing at all. But these folks in the book of Hebrews, they obeyed God, and God led them to where He wanted them to be. That's the lesson tonight, is that we need to learn to listen to the Lord and do what God wants us to do, and always follow exactly what He wants us to do. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer, if you would, before we begin tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the day. I thank You, Lord, for the providing for us in it. Lord, for Your bountiful support for us. I thank You, Lord, for Your great grace and how that You love us. I pray, Lord, that we might be found faithful and obedient unto You, never faulting and never failing You at all. Lord, help us to live by faith and not by sight. I pray, Lord, You might help us to understand that when we walk by faith, we'll always please You. But when we walk by sight, we won't please You at all. And I pray, Lord, You might just forgive us for our sins, watch over us tonight. Help us, Lord, to be true to You. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If you would, look in Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. And the Bible here talks about Noah. And notice what it said about him. It says, by faith, Noah. And here's what the Bible says. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. All right, so here, Noah and nobody else had seen rain, not like this. I don't think it rained at all. But the Bible says that Noah was warned of God of things not seen as yet. So he was warned of God. Here's what he did. He moved with fear. That is absolute, total respect for the things that God has said. And what did he do because of that? The Bible says he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I know that you've read that verse many times before. But understand tonight what he's really talking about. He says there that Noah was warned of God that he will destroy the world with water. This is a great, great amount of water that's going to be turned loose upon this world. I mean, the Bible says that it not only began to rain, but the fountains of the deep were also let loose. And they absolutely filled this earth with water 15 cubits above the tallest mountain. That's a bunch of water. God did that. Never been seen before. So Noah, when he built the ark, he was trusting what God said. That's the kind of faith that God wants us to have. The kind of faith that totally, completely believes in Him and nothing else. You see, this fits. In verse number 8, the Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. Understand? Abraham didn't know all the things that was going to happen to him. He did not know that. He traveled from Ur of the Chaldees, and he traveled to the land of Canaan, but he had never seen that before at all. Abraham traveled by faith. Notice in this place, in verse number 9, the Bible said, talking about Abraham, that by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city who had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So here is Abraham, and God has said, I want you to go to a place that you don't know anything about. No mention is made in verses 8, 9, and verse number 10 about Hagar. About Ishmael. Nothing said there about them. Because that was not a faith. You know why Abraham took Hagar to be his wife, don't you? You remember that? It was because Sarah, Abram's wife, after they had dwelt 10 years in the land of promise, there was no child. And she'd give up on herself. And so she said, go into my handmaid. And he gave her, and she gave him Hagar to be his wife. Nothing is said here about that being a faith. It was not a faith. There's a lot of things that we do that's not a faith. There's a lot of things that we involve ourselves in as Abraham involved himself with Hagar that was not a faith. But we should never do that. We should always fix our eyes ahead and look only to Christ and let Him make the decision for us. I know that's the way we preach about that all the time. But still, we are people of the flesh. And things happen to us. It does. And we get wondering about the promises of God. But God wants us to be faithful to Him more than anything else. Just right now, if you would take a little while and just look around you at the way the world is going, you will get very afraid. I mean, you will get terrified as you think about all the things that's happening today. I saw a little video, I guess you call it, of a guy that had called somebody. He was trying to find out about the school shooting in Nashville. But he just said he wanted to find out about the school shooting. I think he looked it up. He looked it up. And they were saying, well, which school shooting are you talking about? And he told them, the one at Nashville. He said, okay. And so he listed out all of them from Nashville. He said, no, that's not the ones. I want the one, the school shooting in Nashville this week. Okay, so they narrowed that down, and there was four or five of those. I didn't know that. I guess he's done it right. I don't know it. But he finally had to go through a long list of stuff to get to the one that's talking about the school shooting at Nashville. The one that on Monday we heard about. There's just a lot of things in this world that will absolutely drive you up a wall. If you look at those things, it will overtake you and it will depress you immensely. God says what He wants us to do is to look only unto Him. Have our eyes fixed on Him. That's why in verse number 8, 9, and verse number 10, that it's not mentioned here about Hagar or Ishmael. Either one. But notice, in verse number 9, the Bible says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. And then he says these strange little word there. As in a strange country. What? It's a strange country. What's it mean, a strange country? It means this. It means it was not his home. He was a pilgrim there, the Bible says. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles. He had no certain dwelling place. Didn't have a house to live in. It was in a tent, more or less, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Did you know the Bible states, and let's just read this real quick. The Bible tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all strangers in the land of promise. Understand. Read this real quick. In the book of Genesis chapter 23, we'll find the first one. Genesis 23, verse number 4. Genesis 23, and verse number 4. In verse number 3, this time come a time when he was going to bury his wife. In Genesis 23, verse 3. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. He was a stranger in the land. A stranger. But look again. In the book of Genesis 28. Genesis 28. Here is what Isaac says about Jacob. Genesis 28 and verse number 4. Here is Isaac that's calling Jacob to himself. And he says, Jacob, I have something to say to you. I want you to leave where you're living right now. I want you to go to Paddan Aram, and I want you there to take a wife. And he says in verse number 3, And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou may be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So there's no doubt about it that Abraham knew where he was living was a gift from God, but he was still a stranger in the land. Just like we are a stranger here upon this world. Jacob was too. Look again in the book of Genesis chapter 37. The Bible says in this place, Genesis 37 and verse number 1, Talking about Isaac here. Genesis 37, verse number 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And so these three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are often called the earthly trinity, you might say, of men that God has given a promise to. They are great people. They're dwelling in this land that is not there. Just like today, we are living in this land. But if we would fix our eyes upon Christ and always go the way He wants us to go and never get encumbered with this world, we're a stranger too. I mean, the things that we do are odd. Who would ever have thought that a church ought to meet on Wednesday night? Isn't that? People are too busy working, right? But now, it is so in our country that many people are so busy working Sunday that they don't want to have church on Sunday night. Many people are too busy to even work on to go to church on Sunday morning. And that is a very little bit of time to give to the Lord. If you just worship publicly, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday night, that's only three times a week. I eat more often than that. Don't you? I think we need to be more like God wants us to be. I know we ought to worship every day at home. I know that. We ought to pray before our meals. We ought to study our Bibles. I know that. But my, there is so much that we need. In verse number 8, the Bible mentions here about Abraham in the latter part of the verse. It was by faith. It was Abraham believing God and leaving Ur of the Chaldees and going into a strange place that he would afterward receive for an inheritance. But understand that Abraham had a child named Isaac when he was 100 years old. His wife was 90. Understand that Isaac, when he married, he was 40 years old. But when he was 60 years old, that's when they had the child. And then you think about Jacob. He was up in his 90s before he had any children. And you think about how the promises of God are working in miraculous ways, supplying for these people. God can do more than we ever thought that He could do. But the Bible says that Abraham, he was by faith, he went and he went to a place that he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whether he went. So Abraham didn't have any idea where God was going to take him to. You see, it was by faith. It was by faith. Have you ever stepped out by faith and did something that God wanted you to do? Have you ever just stepped out by faith and just believed the promise of God when you didn't understand how it was all going to work out? When you didn't know how it was going to work out? You had no idea about the outcome. Somebody said, well, that's a little bit risky. Is that when God is at the helm? Is that when God is driving the car, it's not risky at all. Because God can take real good care of everything. He can take good care of it all. Understand that God knows more than we know. Look in verse number 10. We've talked about how the Abraham, by faith, stepped out and went into the promised land. We've talked about how the Abraham was a stranger in the land. But look what it says in verse number 10. For he looked for a city which had foundations. That's a plural word, isn't it? It is in my Bible. Whose builder and maker is God. The word for means because. Because Abraham was looking for a city which had foundations. That's a plural word. How many foundations is under your house? Have you got two foundations under your house? How about three? Has anybody got a house with more than one? No. But Abraham was looking for a city, not a house, but he was looking for a city that had foundations, plural. And he's looking for a city that only God could build. Where is that city? Where is that altogether? Let's look in the book of Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse number 10. Revelation 21, verse number 10. I believe this is a city that Abraham was looking for. He wasn't looking for a house. He was looking for a city. The Bible said, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great... What's that next word? The great city. The holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall, great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written their own, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. In verse number 14. Here is what Abraham was looking for. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Is that really? That's the only one I can find in the whole Bible. That's the only one that Abraham was looking for. It's a wonderful thing to think about it. It is by faith, not by sight, that Abraham was looking for this marvelous city. What are you looking forward to? What is your vision? What is the goal that's in front of you? What is it that you have on your mind that you want to accomplish as you live? What is it? What's your goal for your life? Sometimes our goal is to make it through one more day. Right? Hey, we're people. Sometimes we can make it over one more hurdle. That's all. I just want to make one over hurdle. That's all. Sometimes there's so much coming upon us. I know how that is. We get bogged down. We get all that upon us. But the goal here of Abraham's life, by faith he lived his life. And Abraham was a man just like we are people. Abraham was a sinner. He was a sinner that was saved by the grace of God. But he was a sinner. But he wanted to be faithful to God. That's why he left Ur of the Chaldees at the age of 75. That's why he wandered in this strange land for 25 years until the child Isaac was born. Because he was looking for a city that had foundations. He was looking for out of this world things that God could bless him with. That's what he wanted. That's absolutely what you want, I hope. You want to see more than just the here and now. You're looking for the great things that God has for you in eternity. Right? In the book of Revelation 21, that's after the thousand-year reign. I mean, that's after all that. This is... Now, understand that sometimes in the Old Testament, God lets these people see a glimpse into the future. Abraham, he saw this city. He saw it needed foundations. I don't think here that Abraham even had an idea about the Jews, his generations, turning away from God, and God turning away from them, and then the Gentiles coming in. I don't think he ever thought about that. But he was looking for this city for himself, for his wife, for his generations that would follow him. I think that's what he was looking for. He knew that God had spoken to him. He knew that God was real. We ought to know that God is absolutely real. And we ought to have our eyes fixed upon him and upon nothing else. I know this as well. And it's no different for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob than it is for us. There's a lot of people that want to lead us astray, that want us to follow them. But the story is, the whole lesson is that all of us ought to follow only the Lord. All of us ought to obey only the Lord. And all of us would do well if we would only put the Lord first and do what He wants us to do. Look back in the book of Genesis. Chapter 12. The Bible in this place speaks about the time when God told Abraham, his name was Abram at the time, to leave, Ur of the Chaldees. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, I really think that God spoke to Abram before his dad died. And I think that his dad was going to kind of lead him a little bit, but he died. Anyway, the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out from thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless him that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So this is the promise that God gave to Abram. In verse number 4, look at this. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Notice here that Abram took some folks with him that didn't have the promise. I want to tell you something. It's different when God speaks to you and when God speaks to your uncle. Okay? When God spoke to Abram, it was the same as speaking to his wife. Two is one, right? Okay. But Lot was not that way at all. Lot didn't have the promise of God. But Lot went because, I think, because of the promise of God. And Lot, no doubt, had heard about all this. And no doubt, he knew why Abram was leaving. But you read about Lot, and you find he was first captured and turned loose, and then he set his eyes on Sodom and Gomorrah, on the good place, and there's where he went and lived. And he had a wife. I don't know when he got her, but he did have a wife, had grown children. But you remember that Lot had to be drugged out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and his wife as well. His wife looked back, turned into a pillar of salt. You know that. So I'm just saying to you like this. You have to have the promise from God. You need that. It's not enough. It's not enough for you to follow your daddy. It's not enough for you to follow your mother or your grandmother or your granddad. It's not enough. You as an individual person must have the promise of God. You must have that before you ever be successful in serving the Lord. You must have that. So God just gives that. I know. God gives salvation too. Did you ask God for salvation? Yeah. He saved your soul? Yeah. Well, God wants you to ask Him for other things too. I tell you what, there's a whole list of things that God is very well able to give you if you would just simply ask. But sometimes, because we don't ask, we don't get anything. Why don't you ask? Listen, you don't tell anybody. No, but you need to ask God for what you need. Be honest about it. Just say, Lord, I don't have any way I can ever give this thing. I don't have any way I can ever do this. Lord, you must do this. You know why God does things like that? God does things like that because He wants us to know who gives it to Him. Who gives it to Him? God wants us to know. If you're lacking, whatever you're lacking, ask God for it. I'm as serious as I can be. I can't get any more serious. Ask God for it. Maybe the reason you've not received is you've not asked. Ask. That's it. So, I don't believe God will ever answer me like that. Well, no, because you don't ever ask. But Abram here, the Bible said that in Hebrews 11 and verse number 8, he didn't know where he's even going. He had no idea where he's even going. But when he got there, then God provided for him. You see how important that is? I tell you what God wants us to do. God wants us to take one step at a time. And God will lead us one step at a time. God wants you to do that. God wants me to do that. God wants our church to do that. Take one step at a time and do what God wants us to do. And God will always bless if you do it by faith. I mean, that's what He wants us to do. Be serious about it and be real about it. And God will always, He'll always bless. He always will. And I say all that we might remember Lot, because he failed to do what God wanted him to do. He was always looking, but he failed to receive those good things that God wanted him to have. Remember also that others oftentimes say they're doing what God wants them to do, but oftentimes they're just blowing in the wind. And notice also again here, in verse number 8 of Hebrews 11, what does the Bible say here? The Bible says by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and he went out, not knowing where he went. The point I want to get here is that it was Abraham's faith. I know God gave it to him. But let me tell you something. God doesn't need faith. God doesn't need faith. We're the ones that need faith. God knows the end from the beginning. He already sees what's going to happen. He already knows. Nothing takes God by surprise at all. Nothing. Any kind of wickedness God knows about. Any kind of sin, God knows. He understands that. You can't do anything at night in the darkness. God knows that. He knows exactly what you're doing, why you're doing it, and who you're doing it to. God knows all that. He wants you to trust Him and believe in Him. You see, it is not God that must have faith. It is us that must have faith. God is the eternal God. He already knows everything. But God wants us to trust Him. God is well able to accomplish the impossible thing that we cannot. Understand? Listen. Could you save yourself? I couldn't. I couldn't do it. It took faith. But you know, faith is a gift that God gave to me that I could be saved. Do you think that God would hold back anything else? You think God would say, oh, you can't have that. You might ask in faith, but you can't have it. You think God would do that to you? No. God is well able to know what you need. And I'm not saying that God will answer your prayer tomorrow or tonight even. Or next week. Or next year. I'm not saying that. How long was Abraham in the land of promise before the child was born? Isaac was born. 25 years. Check it out. Is there 25 years? But he lived by faith. He had a call from God. He did what God wanted him to do. God is well able to bless. Well able to watch over all that. Look at verse number 11 of Hebrews 11. Verse 11 of Hebrews 11. As I said before, when two, a husband and wife, they become one, and God blesses them accordingly. The Bible said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Who was Sarah looking to? Abraham? Do you think that Sarah expected Abraham to give her a child? No. I don't think so at all. She was past the age of bearing children. She was older than that. Sarah. And notice, in verse number 11, the fifth word is herself. Through faith also Sarah herself. You could leave out that word, and the sentence would still be complete, right? It would read like this. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed. But the word herself is in there. That's an emphasis word. That tells us that Sarah was trusting only in the Lord. This is a miracle birth. A miracle took place. I mean, God had His hand on these people. Well, in the book of Hebrews 11, verse 24 down to verse number 28. Notice this. Hebrews 11, verse 24 through verse number 28. And notice the times that the word He shows up. In verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasuries in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That is, he saw God. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. This shows us the faith of Moses. And you can just understand that this man Moses had a great compassion for the people of Israel. He did not have that compassion when he first started. He did not. But as he led the Israelites through 40 years of wandering, he had a great compassion for them, a great love for them. That's why in the book of Deuteronomy, he spent so much time telling that new generation that they need to remember some things that they've been through. And don't fail again. But look in verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do, were drowned. It was by faith that this Israelites walked through on dry ground. Well, with the water up on both sides of them and wind blowing all that night, they went through the next day. Wow. But you know, this people, the adults in that group, they failed. They failed because they listened to the wrong people. You remember, the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus that there was a mixed multitude that went out with them. A mixed multitude. Jews, Gentiles, Egyptians, whatever. Mixed multitude. People that could not count their heritage back. Their lineage back. They couldn't count it at all. They were a great force in causing the Israelites to fail. You know why? Because the Israelites, they were supposed to have blinders on their eyes, looking only ahead, see what God had for them to do. But instead of that, they took those blinders off and they began to look around and they failed. The same thing happened to us. Understand, the exact same thing can happen to us. Don't let it happen that way. Look in the book of Hebrews 11 and verse number 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies in peace. The story of Rahab is a great, great story to read. Of the victories that God gave her. Of how that she protected the spies, the Egyptian spies, the Israelite spies that went over the land. And God gave her a great victory. He gave her such a great victory that in Matthew 1, I think it's in verse 4 or verse number 5, she is counted in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I tell you what. If we would put our eyes upon the Lord, it's a wonderful thing. The thing about this lady, she put this scarlet ribbon out her door, right? And those Israelites walked around that city 7 days, right? On the 7th day, though, they shouted, and the walls came coming down, except the wall where Rahab lived. Isn't that something? You know why? It was by faith that she served God. Can God do that thing for us? Listen, God can do more for us than we ever thought about. Sometimes I think we like to hide. We like to run, like Elijah ran from Jezebel. After he stood firm. But we don't need to do that. We need to do what is right and true before God. But look at this. In verse 36, the Bible here talks about people. And these are people. In verse number 32 down through verse 35, the Bible talks about many that are victorious, had great victories in the Lord. But in verse 36, the Bible here talks about others. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. So there's two groups of people. They were both victorious. One group saw things develop the way we'd want those to be developed. But the other group did not. But they both lived by faith. Both the groups lived by faith. In verse number 39, the Bible said, "And these all," I think talk about all of them, "having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 40, is a great passage. This all takes us back to Hebrews 11, verse number 7, verse number 6. The Bible said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." It's impossible. You can't please God without faith. You can't do it. And listen, faith, I said again, faith is when you're just doing what God tells you to do and you don't see the end of it. You don't see why He's telling you to do what you're supposed to be doing, but you're doing it anyway. That's what faith is. It's when you're listening to God, not when you're listening to all other kinds of voices around you, but you're listening to God and God alone, and you're doing only what God wants you to do. By faith, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That's number one. Number two, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. These people serve God by faith. They didn't serve God by sight, nor feelings, nor because of excellent circumstances. They loved God, and they served Him, and were faithful to Him, even if they never got anything out of it. That's real faith. That's real faith. I pray that God would help us to be His kind of people. Notice this. We'll say again. This is one of those impossible things. There's only 9 of those in the whole New Testament. This is the last one. It is impossible to please Him without faith. If you have to have sight, you can't please God. That's what the Bible says here. you're lost tonight, we pray for you. The Lord would bless your heart with salvation. We trust the Lord would open His doors and just pour us out a blessing. But if He doesn't do that, we would still believe God and do the same thing we've always been doing. Just trust God and be right with Him. If you're lost, we pray for you that the Lord would save your soul this very night. Okay, let's stand if you would for a song, if you would, and we'll then have a word of prayer.